Praise the Lord, beloved. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with us to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And welcome you to the podcast today. Thank you for tuning us in. Tell a friend about the podcast. Tell a friend about the Mount Carmel Baptist Camp meeting. And it's almost Christmas, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. But until then, let's study our Bibles in Revelation chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now this morning, I'm not going to labor any kind of lengthy introduction. I'm going to get straight to the message today. Now I'm going to preach on this subject, some treasures that John found on Patmos. Great God, I'm glad no matter where you're at, whatever kind of Patmos experience you're having, or a valley or a trial, thank God I'm glad these treasures to be found in every situation in life. If you look hard enough, amen, John probably thought it was over. This is it for him. There ain't going to be no more ministry, ain't going to be no more preaching. But John, my beloved, found some treasures on Patmos. And I believe with all my heart, the main way that God used to do that is John didn't quit. The Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't let the circumstances or the persecution or being put out there on an island where there was no fun, there's no friends, knock him out of being in the Spirit. And somebody made the statement, what day is the Lord's day? Well, if you're Spirit-filled, every day is the Lord's day, good neighbor. Yeah, man, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we'll be glad and rejoice in it. I just misquoted that. Y'all forgive me for that. But anyways, I got five treasures I want to talk to you about today. First of all, John found a great voice. Verse number 10, the Bible said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Thank God, there ain't nothing like hearing the voice of God. Amen. If I could sing today, I'd sing that old song, Jesus Spoke to Me One Day. Praise His holy name. I'm glad that God is in the business of speaking to His people. And He'll even speak to a lost man about being saved. Thank God for that. Well, there's several things about this great voice. First of all, it was a trumpeting voice, as we just read, as of a trumpet. That means it can be heard. God don't mealy mouth around. When He speaks, great God, He'll speak loud enough to where you can hear it. Amen. Verses 8 and 11. I'm Alpha and Omega. Verse 8, the beginning and the ending. Dealing with the time. I want to talk about it's a timely voice. Amen. God always speaks right on time. Amen. The night He told me I was lost, going to hell without God, is right on time. And when I repented and believed the gospel and I was born again and He spoke peace to my heart, it was right on time. And every time that God has ever spoke to me, or anybody for that matter, it's been right on time. And God is speaking to John right exactly on time. He ain't late. He ain't early. He's speaking right on time. You need a word from God, it'll come right on time. I'm reminded of Mary Magdalene in the garden, over there in the garden, at the garden tomb. And she needed to hear a word from God. And Jesus shows up and says, Mary. And boy, she knew who that was. And it was right on time. Thank God. I get fired up of thinking about God speaking to me. But verse number 11, God told him, He said, I want you to write these things in a book. Amen. It's a truthful voice. I'm telling you, the voice of God, He ain't never lied to nobody. He said, John, what I'm fixing to tell you is a gospel truth, and I want you to write it down. And God has given it to us in the King James Bible. Amen. God's voice on paper. Thank God for that. Amen. It's a truthful voice. But then, verse 12, the Bible said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. I like that word turn, don't you? That was a turning voice. I'm glad, thank God, the voice of God can turn any man, woman, boy, or girl around. He can turn any situation around. All we need is God to speak. And I hope as you're on your way to church this morning, that great God, you're going to hear God speak. Man, that's why we got to keep a house of God clean and the preaching hot and the singing good and everybody living holy. Why? So we can hear the voice of God. That's why you don't need to fill your mind with Hollywood and all kinds of junk and gossip and bitterness, but neighbor, keep your heart cleaned up so you can hear the voice of God. Nothing like the voice of God turning anything or anybody in the direction that it ought to be going. It was a verse number 9. I missed this one. He's on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Boy, it was a testifying voice. And I think about when God the Father over there in the Gospels, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Testifying of the lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, John found a great voice. Number two, treasure on Patmos today. John had a great vision. The Bible said in verse number 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." And now number two, he had a great vision. Amen. What John saw on Patmos was, boy, it was amazing. Well, there's three things we need to study right here, and there's more than this, but in our study this morning, we'll find out that John saw, first of all, the church. Amen. That the seven golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches, in the latter part of verse number 20. And he saw the church. And Lord, I bless the Lord for the church, don't you? I'm telling you, amen. Don't let me get ahead of myself. He said he saw seven of them. I like that word, that number seven. It reveals the completeness of God. He saw a complete church, amen. Thank God, I'm telling you, when this thing's over with and right there, amen, he saw the church in its completeness. And beloved, we ought to rejoice that one day this thing's going to be complete. The bride of Christ is going to be made up. He saw the church. Amen. And when he saw the church, he not only saw seven of them, but he saw they were golden candlesticks. Now, that word gold, always a picture and a type of deity in your Bible. And so we see the deity on the church, not that the church is deity. What I'm simply trying to say is the church is to be Christ-like. And when people see the church, they ought to see Jesus. We're no deity of ourselves, but we got deity living on the inside of us. And we exalt deity and we preach deity of Jesus Christ the righteous. We ought to be Christ-like. And when they see us, they ought to see Jesus. Oh, to be like him. Thank God, yes, I want to be transparent. When people see me, they'd see right through me and see Jesus. When they go to the church I attend, I want them to see Jesus. I don't want them to see any other personality. I invite a sinner to come to the house of God, any revival meeting that I might be conducted. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus. I don't want them to see the pastor. I want them to see Jesus. I like what them Greeks had to say in John chapter number 12. Amen. When they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Amen. There is the church in its Christ likeness. But then the candlesticks. Now, this is a no-brainer right here. A candlestick holds up a light, right? Amen. There's the light of the church. Boy, and I'm glad, thank God, for the lighthouse God put on this earth called the church. Amen to God. Boy, and I tell you what, you're either saved as a direct result or an indirect result of the church. Amen. Somebody, as a part of the church, got you to God. Amen. And that's the light. Amen. The church shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Savior. But then you study these seven churches, man, they were working churches, they were warring churches, they were worshiping churches, they were even weary churches. Amen. He told one of those churches, he said, "Strengthen the things which remain." Amen. And if Christ died for the church, then good neighbor, I'm telling you, amen, great God, we ought to live for Jesus and live for our church, ought to be faithful to the church. You got to take it or leave it attitude about the church. I wonder if you're even saved or not. Amen. That man had a great vision of the church, but then he had a great vision of Christ. Amen. He said, and in the midst of the seven candlestick and in the midst of the churches. Boy, and I'm glad he's in the midst of this thing. Amen. He said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about with a paps with a golden girdle. Amen. He had a vision of Christ. Oh, and that's what we need to do. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Boy, if we get our hearts tuned toward him and get our eyes on him, we'd get our eyes off everybody else and everybody else's problem and everybody else's mouths and everybody else's gossip. Everything about everybody else that would drive you crazy. Boy, there's great peace. There's great assurance. There's great joy. And just seeing Jesus. Hallelujah. But we see Jesus. Boy, I'm telling you, John is getting a little interpret that verse literally what Paul penned down in the book of Hebrews, but we see Jesus. And John is getting to see a great vision. Now, he's seen him on earth. Amen. He's seen him in action, raising the dead, giving the blind their sight, healing the lame, the malt, the blind, the halt, the blind. I mean, he's seen him turn the water into wine. I'm telling you, he witnessed him die on the cross. Witnessed the resurrected Savior. Witnessed him on the mountain of transfiguration and out John the Beloved. After all this tribulation and all this pain that he's been through, God said, I want you to see me one more time while you're still alive on earth. And he let him see him more than just dying on a cross and more than necessarily after he resurrected, but now in all his glory, doing his work in the churches. John gets to see Jesus. Well, he sees his garments in verse 13. We just read them, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Amen. Seeing those priestly garments. Our high priest ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's seen his gold. Verse 13. That's the deity. We won't mention that again. Verse 14. We can learn of his government. Amen. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes again and after the 7-year tribulation and he comes back on this earth to set up the 1,000-year millennial reign, great God, there ain't going to be no crooked politics. There ain't going to be no Democrats. There ain't going to be no Republicans. There ain't going to be no independents. Great God, we all going to be under the rule and reign of the lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous. He saw it in his government, but then he's not only seen the church and he's not only seen Christ, but great God, he's getting to see some things to come. Man, he's going to get to see the rapture, the tribulation, the 1,000-year millennial reign. He's getting to see heaven. Boy, he's going to get to go up on one of them exceeding high mountains and see the city of gold. Amen. The city of God, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles deep. Great God, could you imagine how big that mountain must have been if John could have seen the whole city from that one mountain? Yes, God, boy, amen. I don't like cities down here on earth, but I'm looking forward to going to the city of God, amen. And not just the city of God, but the countryside of God. How wonderful heaven's going to be. How glorious. If I could sing, I'd sing out, I want to stroll over to heaven with you. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I really am. Heaven's going to fix a lot of things. Amen. Thank God John's found a great voice. John has found a great vision. But thirdly tonight, or this morning rather, John has found a great virtue. Verse number 17. I like this verse. Boy, this thrills my heart. And when he saw him, heard the Bible said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. John's found a great virtue. John had in a place of persecution, in a place of imprisonment, John has found great power from God. And neighbor, ain't nothing like the power of God. Amen. Look, God gives John power to do several things. Hey, he gives him power to get up. Amen. I don't know what's throwed you down, but you got power to get up. He's giving him power to get over Patmos. Now watch this. Amen. The word Patmos is only in the King James Bible one time. Only found in Revelation chapter number 1. And if that would have been most Baptist, the book of Revelation wouldn't have been about the church. It wouldn't have been about Jesus. It wouldn't have been about heaven. It would have been about Patmos. Amen. Oh, we'd have wrote a song. Story 25 chapters long. We'd have been crying, look at me, how bad I got it. Look at me, how rough I got it. I'll tell you what, I got two good words for you. Shut up and get over it. Amen. We ain't got it bad. We've got it good. Amen. Well, Brother John, I ain't got no money. Amen. If you can open up your heart, you're saved by the grace of God. You're richer than any rich man. You're richer than Donald Trump ever thought about being. Well, Brother John, I mean, I know I'm not belittling anybody's Patmos experience, but if John, the Beloved, could get over it and only mention it one time, then, oh, dear God, help me, how guilty I am. I'm talking about and thinking about things that bother us. And God gave John the power to get over Patmos. God, help me to practice what I'm preaching. Hey, amen. He never mentioned it again. He gave him power to get up, power to get over, power to go on. Amen. And give him power to pick up his pen and power to praise God. Amen. I tell you what, you'll find out in the book of Revelation, you'll find out there ain't going to be no more separation. There ain't going to be no more isolation. The Bible said there'd be no more islands. And if you're on an island, you're isolated. So there'll be no more isolation, no more separation. Amen. And they won't even be no more disqualification. Amen. I'm telling you, I hope some old feller boy that's messed their ministry up can hear me right now. Amen. Get his right with God. I mean, get thoroughly right with God. Confess your faults. Get right with God. Amen. Do what you can in the local church. Don't get bitter. Don't get drunk. Don't stay quit. Get right with God. Apologize to your family, whatever you might need to do, and go on, serve God. Because one day, thank God, heaven is going to take away the isolation, the separation, and the disqualifications. Bless his holy name. It don't matter to me whether you agree with that or not. It's the truth if it's ever been told. John has found a great virtue. Amen. You might disqualify yourselves from things down here. Amen. But boy, when we get there and God wipes it all away, it'll all be gone. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Well, I got to hurry. I got two more treasures, and we done preached 15 minutes. Amen. The next treasure that John found on Patmos was a great victory. Verse number 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. We found a great victory. Where is that victory at? That victory over death and discouragement, defeat, but it was victory in the resurrected Jesus Christ. I mean, he overcame the hell, the death, the grave, every bit of it. There's a great victory. Hey, we got victory in Jesus this morning, children. We've got victory in him. But then not only did he find a great victory, and I'm done this morning, he found a great vessel. Not that we would lift John up above anybody else. Not that we would look at ourselves and say, well, I'm some kind of great Christian. I'm a great preacher. Absolutely not. Hogwash, Tommy Rot, anything else you want to call it. Amen to God. Oh, no, 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 no. But just when you think it's over, and old John, man, history tells us he'd been dipped in that boiling oil, the flesh probably burnt off of him, all scarred up, all infected up. Near John is with all this going on. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, probably running across Patmos. Amen. Praising the Lord with his hands in the air, saying, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let's worship him together. John might be quoting some of David's Psalms. Amen. And getting some help. I don't know what all he's got, but God said, hey, John, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you, John. I want you to write one more book. And I want to encourage you, beloved. You might think that you're too old to serve God. You might think that you've come too far to do anything else for Jesus. Well, I hate to bust your bubble, but can I just tell you, you're dead wrong. You are wrong. If you're still living and you're breathing God's clean air and you're saved by the grace of God, there is still something you can do for Jesus. If it's nothing else than passing out a gospel tract. You never know. Somebody might get saved. You just can't never tell. God may let you be the vessel that gives somebody the gospel that gets saved by the grace of God. Or you can't know. You might have a testimony at church and somebody's struggling. You might need to stand up and give it. You could be an encouragement to somebody, a blessing to somebody, help to somebody. So don't sit around with your lips pooched out. Just go looking for treasures on Patmos. I promise you, by the grace of God, you get in the Spirit and go treasure hunting, you will find it. God be with you till we meet again, beloved.